Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, everyone. A warm welcome from one bereaver to another. Thank you for joining me for another week. This time of year can be brutal for those of us who have lost a child. No matter how many years go by, there just seems to be an extra ache for many of us this time of year. And if you're like me, I cannot stand the song, "I'll Be Home for Christmas," and it always seems to be playing in the stores when I'm shopping. This week, I thought I would do something different for all of us. Most of you know that through this Christmas season, I am going live on YouTube every Sunday night to read the entry from my book, Hope for the Future, An Advent Journey for Bereaved Parents, and light a candle on our Advent wreath. And I decided for this week's podcast episode to read the entries from today, which would be December 8th through Saturday. Now, you can either listen through all of the days in one shot here, or you can pause after each day's entry and listen to the next one the following day, kind of doing a daily audible reading with me. You don't have to have an Advent wreath, but I will let you know when to light the candles in case you are doing an Advent wreath along with the book for me each day that I'm going to be reading this. Now, because of this, I'm also going to change up the podcast format a bit, and I'm going to remind you of a couple of our resources and do the birthday segment now instead of waiting until after Saturday's reading. As we move toward Christmas, which is a season that often brings both tender memories and a deep ache, I want to gently remind you of something meaningful you can do in honor or memory of your precious child. For a gift of only $50 to GPS Hope, you can sponsor a podcast episode in your child's name. Now you get to choose the week. And during that episode, I will share whatever you would like others to know about your son or daughter, their story, their personality, the beautiful imprint they left on this world. It becomes a moment of remembrance that reaches bereavers everywhere with your child's light, and it stays out there. Bereavers listen to these podcast episodes for years, literally for years, and so it will always be out there. And this doesn't have to be a gift only for yourself. It could also be a deeply touching gift for your spouse, the other parent who carries the same loss. Imagine the comfort of hearing your child's name and their story spoken aloud and honored in a way that continues into this coming year. If you're looking for a way to honor your child this Christmas, something healing, purposeful, and lasting, this is a gift that carries both love and remembrance forward. So to sponsor an episode and choose your week, you can go to gpshope.org/sponsor podcast. And I will put a link to that in the show notes. This is a way for your child's light to shine while offering hope to others who are walking this same road, as you will also be supporting GPS Hope with your sponsorship. It would be an honor for me to speak your child's name and hold space for their story in this sacred community. Your child's legacy matters, and this is one beautiful way to let it continue making a difference. Also, for the month of December, I want to offer something a little extra to bring comfort and connection this season. When you order any paperback book from GPS Hope, you will receive a free Bereaver bracelet. This is a black band with Bereaver on one side and Hope on the other, written in teal. Now, if you don't know what a Bereaver is, you can back up one podcast episode, and I talked about that last week. Basically, it is us. It's a parent who's been bereaved of their child, a parent who's had our child ripped and torn away from us through death. Now, these bracelets are a simple but meaningful reminder that you are part of a community that understands. Now, this offer is only for the physical paperback orders. Since we don't keep the Reflections of Hope book in our inventory. That's a hardback book, and I will personally sign your book or your books before sending them out. All you have to do is order the books. We'll automatically put in the bracelet. So if you've been thinking about getting a book for yourself or as a gift for another Pereaver, December is the perfect time to do that. Go to gpshope.org/books to take a look at what's there and place your order. Let's go ahead with this week's birthday segment. Ashton Bolt was born on December 8th and is forever 22. Aaron Fitzgerald was born on December 10th and is forever 24. Tyler Sitter was born on December 12th and is forever 32. We celebrate the day these children came into the world and into the lives of their families. We know it will always be a special day worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced on the podcast the week of his or her birthday, I would love to be able to do that for you. There's no cost for that. All you have to do is go to gpshope.org/birthdays, fill out the information, hit the submit button, and we will add your child to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. And Dave will send you an email to remind you to listen that week. All right, let's go ahead and get started with reading this week's Hope for the Future entries. Now, as I read, you're going to hear some page turnings because I am literally reading from the book here. If you do have your Advent wreath, go ahead and start out by lighting the green candle, which was for last week. We talked about hope, and I will tell you when to light the next candle, which will be the blue one for peace. The enemy brings accusations and false blame. He causes chaos and confusion. It's almost like he is scrambling the frequency of what we need from God. So we have to find the dial and readjust the tuner. Peace is not something we just stumble upon in our turmoil. Psalm 34:14 and 1 Peter 3:11 both tell us to seek peace and pursue it. James 4:8 tells us to draw near to God, and He will draw near to us. Now, it isn't that God has left us. It's just that we can't feel His nearness. The first instruction to us in that verse is to resist the devil. We are not resisting him when we remain in our anger and our unforgiveness with God. Instead, we are adding fuel to the devil's fire. Job lost 10 children all at once. He also lost all his finances, and he lost his health with having big, oozing boils. His wife told him to just curse God and die. His friends kept insisting he must have done something wrong for God to do this to him. All Job could say is, "I don't know why all of this has happened, but no matter how miserable I am, even if he kills me, I will trust him." That's in Job 13, which is my paraphrase there. He also said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, since then, I see that as Job's interpretation because the Lord doesn't cause death. He was not the one that caused the death of Job's children, but that was Job's view of things. Now, this is incredible, though, to be able to trust in God, allowing God to be God and recognizing that there's no way our finite minds can make sense of it. If we could figure out and make sense of everything God does and allows, He wouldn't be big enough to be God anymore, would He? If you have your Advent wreath, go ahead and light the blue candle. We seem to believe if we let God off the hook, we won't have peace, but it really is just the opposite. I often picture a little child who is told no to something. That child starts to cry and throw a fit, sometimes hurting themselves in the process. The loving father steps in and scoops up the child who is now fighting him fiercely. Eventually, the child wears out and receives the loving embrace and comfort of the Father. I think that's a pretty good picture of some of us, isn't it? Romans 14:19 tells us to make every effort we can to do what leads to peace. And often, that means simply submitting to the embrace of our loving Father, like Job tells us to do in Job 22:11, to submit to God and to be at peace with Him. For some reason, many of us think that being a Christian is a golden ticket to not having anything bad happen to us for the rest of our time here on earth, but that just isn't the case. We are going to deal with pain and suffering in this life because we live in a fallen, sinful world, which means we need to learn what God's Word has to say about it and how to deal with it so that when it comes, our faith isn't shattered and we fall apart and blame God. Are you thinking it's too late because that's already happened? Well, it's never too late to become firm in our trust in God to receive His peace. Matthew 7, 24 and 25 is where Jesus talks about the house built on the rock and on the sand. There are many of us who thought we had our lives built on the rock, but when our child died, we discovered it was on the sand because everything came crashing down in a way that caused us to blame God instead of giving our suffocating darkness and pain over to Him to heal our broken, shattered hearts. Over the years, I have learned my faith is not getting the answer I want to my prayer, but my faith is in knowing intimately the one to whom I pray. And the more I truly know Him, the more I trust Him. You might be shocked by that statement because you may feel like you trusted God and He betrayed you, so you can never trust Him again. But the truth is, He is the source of hope, and He is the source of peace, no matter what has happened in our lives. And this isn't just true for me. It's true for thousands of parents who have lost their child from this earth over the years. Let me pray over you for this day. God, You tell us in Psalm 29:11 that You bless Your people with peace. I thank You that I am truly blessed because You made a way for me to have peace in the absolute worst storm possible. And You've not only done it for me, You have done it to every single bereaver listening. Jesus, I thank You that You truly are the Prince of Peace. Amen. Let's go on to day 4, Wednesday. You can start by lighting your green candle if you have an Advent wreath. Shalom, that is the Hebrew word for peace. It means a state of rest, quietness and calmness, tranquility, harmonious relationships between God and men, a state of wholeness. In other words, the repairing of a shattered heart. When an angel appeared to someone in the Bible, they often started their message with the word peace. There were also several times when Jesus appeared to His disciples that He also started by speaking peace over them. When Peter, John, and Jude wrote their letters that became books in the New Testament, 6 times they started out by speaking God's peace over those in the church reading their letters. In counting how often Paul started his letters to the churches by speaking peace to the readers, I discovered 12 of them started with grace and peace. 4 times he also ended his letter by speaking a word of peace over his fellow believers. In the book of Psalms, we are told how the Lord delights in the peace of His people, Psalm 35:27. That means He takes pleasure in our wholeness and well-being. You may be thinking, if that's true, then why did He allow my child to die? Well, I am not God, and I don't have an answer to that. And most of us probably won't get an answer this side of life. But I can tell you, it's very obvious that He wants to give you peace. If you have your Advent wreath, go ahead and light the blue candle. Jesus did not come to this earth as a baby to grow up and sacrifice His life so that nothing bad would ever happen to us on this earth. He died so that we would have a way to be connected to Him while on this earth. He died so we could have hope and so that we could have peace. The no more tears part is after we leave this world. If God were to be our magic genie and we could get whatever we wanted from Him, people would just use Him. It would not be a relationship built on love and trust. Trust is believing in someone when things don't make sense. Isaiah 53:5 says that the chastisement for us to have peace was placed on Him. He was punished so that we could have peace and we could receive healing from His wounds. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. He suffered as a way to take our burdens and replace it with peace. That's why Paul seems to put grace and peace together so often, because God's incredible grace is his divine empowerment to be able to receive his shalom, his wholeness, his peace through the death of his own son. So let's extend this peace just a bit further. One of the times Jesus himself spoke peace directly over his followers is John 20:21. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. That makes me think of a question. What is God sending you to do in your child's honor? What can you go and do that will bring life to your child and to you by keeping their memory alive? What can you do that will help bring in a measure of peace that your child's life matters and that he or she will continue to live on even though they're no longer here on this earth? Grace and peace to you from the one who is and who was and who is to come. That's Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. This tells me that an eternal God had you covered in the area of peace before your child or you were even born. He paid the highest price possible, the death of his own child, so that you could have peace and wholeness within the death of your own child. Let me pray over you. Holy Spirit, I come into agreement with God's word and I speak peace, his wholeness, over myself and over every listener. I speak peace over our families, peace in our homes, and I ask and pray that this peace will remain the rest of this Christmas season, even within the pain of missing our child. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're going to go on to Thursday, day 5. This is day 5, Thursday. You can start out by lighting your green candle if you have an Advent wreath. There are so many scriptures that link Jesus to peace. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:14 that Jesus himself is our peace. There are also times Jesus links himself directly to peace. We see that in John 14:27 when he tells us, "I give you peace, the kind of peace that only I can give. It isn't like the peace that this world can give." And another time he very bluntly shares, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." John 16:33. This time of year especially, we are reminded that Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6 seems to be everywhere, including a main theme for Christmas cards. "For unto us a child is born, and he will be called Prince of Peace." If you had your Advent wreath, go ahead and light the blue candle. Often, especially in biblical times, a prince was known to lead the battles of a war. He was proving his leadership ability to eventually take over the throne and earning the trust and loyalty of the people of his future kingdom. In this context, the title Prince of Peace means that he is leading the battle for our peace. Every war has many battles. Jesus is the only king who wins every battle he enters, which means he also wins the war. Part of his victory happens by helping us defeat the enemy in our personal battles. Romans 16:20 promises that the God of peace will crush Satan under our feet. His peace in our lives is part of the battle plan. It is a valuable weapon we need to win the battle of darkness we have found ourselves thrown into. Jesus himself made sure we had access to this powerful weapon of peace by purchasing it for us at a very high price. The Prince of Peace sacrificed his own life for it. Then there is God the Father. He paid what we as bereaved parents might consider the ultimate price for us to have peace. He turned his son over to men to die a very torturous death. God knows what it's like to have a child die. He allowed himself to feel the deepest pain possible so that we could have peace from the burdens of this world whenever we need it, including the death of our own child. The bottom line is that our Father God willingly sacrificed his child so that we could have peace within the death of our child. It is an exchange. He exchanged his son, the Prince of Peace, for our pain, our confusion, and turmoil to give us the peace we so desperately need. Last night we talked about Isaiah 53 that says he was beaten so that we could have peace and we receive healing from his wounds. We see that in the New Testament as well, after Jesus died. Romans 5:1 and Colossians 1:20 confirm that Jesus paid the price for our peace through his death on the cross. What an incredible, amazing thought. Jesus left the glory of heaven to come to earth as a baby for the purpose of dying, so that we could have peace in our suffocating darkness. It doesn't make sense, does it? But Jesus made what seems impossible become possible. You may be thinking, that sounds great and it works for you, but I don't have that peace. How can I get it? You receive it as the gift that it is, just like salvation. We start by laying down the things that cause the darkness in our lives so we have empty hands to receive. Remember, it's an exchange. You might have to let go of anger or guilt or blame. Let it go as best as you can so that you can offer the Prince of Peace room in your heart for the peace that he is waiting to give you. And let me acknowledge, it may be simple, but it's not always easy. Let me pray over you. Holy Spirit, help us to let go of the things that we need to let go of to be able to receive your gift. Father God, may the price you paid, the death of your son, not be in vain. Prince of Peace, I accept the weapon you battled for me to have, a peace that goes beyond any understanding. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right, let's start on day 6, Friday. You can start by lighting your green candle if you have an Advent wreath. How is it that the pain of our child who has gone from this earth outweighs the desire to stay for the ones we still have here? We see something similar in a story Jesus shared with us. It's the shepherd who left to go find the lost sheep. The shepherd had 99 of his sheep with him, but he left them all to go after the one. Obviously, we can't go after our child and bring him or her back, but I believe it shows us that it's okay to have the focus of our pain outweigh the blessing of those we still have, at least for a while. But there does come a point where we need to start getting our focus back on the 99, realizing that the one isn't really lost, but is safely with the shepherd and patiently waiting for us to join him or her. For many of us, that focus is our other children. If we don't have other children, and I am so sorry if that is the case for you, then it could be our spouse or other family members or friends who still need us in their lives. My youngest daughter came to me several months after Becca died and told me that she thought I wished it was her that died instead of her sister. That totally shocked me. But I found out that's a very common belief of the surviving siblings. They interpret our deep pain and inability to function as the wrong one died. So, if you're not interested in having peace for your own sake, you want to stay mad at God and blame him, maybe you should consider releasing that hostility and darkness for the sake of your other children or for those who love and need you. If you have your Advent wreath, go ahead and light the blue candle for peace. Some people think peace is feeling good about a situation. I have found that peace is resting in God in spite of the situation. It's a belief that God is going to come through and somehow things are going to be okay. You might be thinking, how can things possibly be okay when my child has died? I completely understand. Remember, I have been there. God's ways are beyond what we can understand. If they weren't, He wouldn't be big enough to be God. That also means that His attributes, like His peace, are beyond what we can understand. There are people who say God won't ever give us more than we can handle, but you cannot find that in the Bible anywhere. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that we won't be tempted more than what we can handle, and He will always make a way of escape for us, but that's not the same thing. In fact, we're told just the opposite. Like in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where we read that His power is made the strongest in our weakness. Those of us who have lost a child know this is more than we can handle. And it's in this place of suffocating darkness that we know just how weak we are and how much we need Him to be our hope, our light, and to be our peace. And that is often where we have a huge struggle. We know in our heads that we need Him, but our emotions are not lining up with those thoughts. We may think the battle is won in our emotions, but fighting there is a losing battle. The battle we need to win is in our thoughts, because it is our shift in perspective that allows the peace to come through, eventually overcoming the negative emotions that keep peace from reaching us. Isaiah 26:3 is very clear that when our minds are steadfast, we have peace. It says, "You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace." Romans 8:6 reminds us that the mind governed by the flesh or our emotions is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. In other words, it really is up to us. We can choose to believe the thoughts of our emotions or the thoughts of our spirit. And based on our choice, we will either bear the fruit of our flesh, which are things like confusion, anger, and bitterness, or we will bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is one of peace, which we see in Galatians 5:22. And when we have the fruit of peace activated in our lives, according to Isaiah 32:17, its effect will be quietness and rest in our souls. In my prayer room, I have a saying taped to my desk that says, "Peace comes from the presence of God, not the absence of trouble." Last week, we talked about how you don't get rid of darkness by taking it away. You get rid of it by bringing in the light. And it's the same with peace. You don't get rid of turmoil and confusion by taking it away. You get rid of it by receiving God's peace. Don't be discouraged if this doesn't happen as quickly as you want it to. It is a process. Stick with it, and you will eventually find yourself walking and living from a place of peace. Let me pray over you. Lord, help us to choose Your Spirit of peace over our own desires of the flesh that lead us down a path of darkness and pain. Lord, we give our minds to You, and I thank You that the truth will always set us free. Thank You, Lord, and I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's read day 7, Saturday, and this is the last reading that I'll be doing. If you have your Advent wreath, go ahead and light your green candle. When Jesus was born, the angels announced to a group of shepherds that the birth of this special baby was the good news of God's peace coming to earth. What the angels didn't announce was the huge price tag attached to that peace. Bringing God's peace to this earth wasn't going to be an easy road for that little baby or his father who sent him here. On Thursday, I said that simple doesn't always mean easy. Peace doesn't always mean easy either. Being a Christian doesn't mean we will have smooth sailing here on earth. Jesus never promised an easy life. As a note, when Jesus said in Matthew 11:30 that his yoke was easy and his burden was light, it was in the context of rules, traditions, and the judgments of man in the form of religious bondage. In fact, we've been told to expect tribulation, John 16:33, and trials, James 1:2. Jesus warned us to build our lives on the solid rock so that when, not if, the winds blew and the rains fell and the floodwaters rose, that we would be able to stay standing. No, he certainly did not promise life here would be easy. But what he did promise is to walk with us, Matthew 12:20, to never leave us or abandon us, Hebrews 11:13-5, and to be our source of strength, Ephesians 3:16. He also said that if we called on him, he would give us God's peace, the same peace the angels announced at his birth and that he paid the full price for, which goes way beyond our comprehension, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. If you have your Advent wreath, go ahead and light the blue candle. Sometimes, instead of moving toward God's light and giving him our pain, as bereavers, we try to stay in control. We try hard to make our own safe little world so nothing else will happen. But that won't bring peace because it's impossible to be in control of everything. I think of how the government is constantly passing new laws to make us safe. But there is no way there can be enough laws to make us completely and totally safe. There's no way you can have all the control so that nothing else bad will happen in your life. At this point, the safest thing we can do is lean into God as much as possible. Climb up on his lap as your daddy. Let him wrap his arms of love around you like a blanket that warms your heart. If you can't feel his presence or his peace, ask God to heighten your awareness of him. Think of the words in a familiar Christmas song, "Be near me, Lord Jesus." Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask you to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Let these words be the cry of your heart. In the Old Testament, after the temple had been destroyed and it was being rebuilt, God declared, "In this place I will grant peace," which is Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. We are now the temple of God's Spirit. We have been destroyed with the death of our child, and we desperately need to be rebuilt. And I believe God is declaring the same words over his temple, over you and me. In this place, I will grant peace. I'm not saying you will eventually be rebuilt and get back to your old self, because that will just never happen. But I am saying you can have peace as you are learning how to live with your child no longer here on earth, and while you are finding your new identity that goes beyond being a parent whose child has died. I know I felt for quite some time that my identity was being a mom whose daughter died, until I learned how to live in an identity that honored the life of my daughter instead of living in the shadow of her death. And having peace does not mean the pain will automatically leave. Many Christians have the false belief that if you are grieving or in pain, whether it's physically or emotionally, it's because you aren't giving that thing to God or you don't have enough faith. One surprising thing I've learned is that peace and pain can reside together in me. We don't have to choose between leaning on God or falling apart. We can lean on God while we fall apart, allowing him to give us that miraculous peace that goes beyond our understanding. And it's okay that it doesn't make sense. I'm just thankful he paid the price for it to be possible. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And let me pray this final prayer over you. Father, I know you have done your part in making a way for each one of us to have peace that goes beyond any possible understanding. Help us each to do our own part, to let go of anything that keeps us from leaning on you and allowing you to grant peace in me, your temple. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we are caught up for the week with our Advent readings. I hope you can join me live Sunday night on the GPS Hope YouTube channel. It'll be at 8 p.m. Central Time for the next reading. And I will have my Advent wreath and I will be lighting the candles. You can find out more about this at gpshope.org/Advent book. I'll have a link to that and to the YouTube channel in the show notes. Now, if you want to get the book and do the last 2 weeks, the quickest way to do that is to go to the website and just get a downloadable PDF, or obviously you can order from Amazon or anywhere else. Let me also remind you about the offer of a free Pareaver bracelet when you order one of our books directly from us, which I will also sign before sending it out. And don't forget to go to gpshope.org/sponsor podcast for a way to shine your child's life and light to others by sponsoring a podcast episode in the coming year. As you allow God to give His peace within your pain, may you also feel His love wrap around you at times during this Advent season like a warm blanket, like I just read. And as He meets you wherever you are in this journey, and especially during this Christmas Advent season, remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.